Hey, it's Latif from Radiolab. Our goal with each episode is to make you think, how did I live this long and not know that? Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know. Listen wherever you get podcasts.
So a couple of details from the Horn of Africa story that we've been following over the last couple of weeks. The U.S. has approved $565 million in humanitarian aid this year to address the devastating drought and famine in Somalia. But apparently our involvement in the country does not stop there. We reported earlier this week that the situation on the ground, which reportedly was inhibiting the distribution of food aid to people in Somalia who are vulnerable because of the record famine there, that the military situation has changed, that Al-Shabaab, this group, there's been a reversal at the hands of who and what. We don't exactly know, but it's been a significant development, and it has meant that the food aid has resumed and that there are signs of optimism in Somalia and in the Horn of Africa. Here to discuss what that exactly means is Jeffrey Gettleman, East Africa Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times. He joins us from Nairobi. Jeffrey, good morning.
Good morning.
Also with us is Dr. Peter Pham, director of the Michael S. Ansara Africa Center at the Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C. Dr. Pham, thanks so much for being with us.
A pleasure as always, John.
Jeffrey, let me begin with you. You reported on this program that the military situation seemed to have changed significantly in Somalia, and that's a good thing. Are you beginning to understand why that might be the case based on your reporting today?
Well, we think that the Shabaab as an organization, this Islamic militant group in Somalia, has been unraveling over the past several months. They've had a number of internal problems. There's been this famine that has depleted them of resources also. And finally, there is an intense urban war going on right now in Mogadishu, the capital of Somalia, with the African Union fighting the Shabaab. And they've been losing. The Shabaab has been losing. And an interesting piece of this urban war is an American company called Bancroft, which has assigned military advisors to the African Union to help bolster their war-fighting capability. And I think it's been working.
And are they operating on their own? Are they at the behest of the Pentagon? Are they part of a State Department quasi-military policy being implemented in Somalia? What do we think is going on here?
It's a little bit opaque. The United States government does not want to get its hands dirty in Somalia, yet at the same time, it wants to stay involved. So what they've done is they've set up an arrangement with this Bancroft company to get paid through the African Union, but then the United States reimburses the African Union. So it's basically American money paying for these military advisors to fight in the streets of Somalia, and that way they don't expose any American personnel to the dangers and chaos of Somalia.
Based on your reporting, Jeffrey Gettleman of The New York Times, do you believe there are American boots on the ground in Somalia or no?
Well, I think the CIA does have agents in Somalia. I've seen people that looked like CIA agents that were not comfortable with me speaking to them or even trying to engage them at all, working with Somali intelligence services. My information is the CIA does come in and out of Somalia, but there are not regular American personnel or even diplomats, for that matter, inside the country.
It's Jeffrey Gettleman, East Africa Bureau Chief for our partner, The New York Times, speaking to us from Nairobi. Dr. Peter Pham, Director of the Michael S. Ansari Africa Center at the Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C. Do you embrace or support quasi-military or even military support for maintaining civil authority in Somalia? Or would you view this reporting from Jeffrey Gettleman as a negative development?
Well, insofar as we're dealing with advisors who are helping the African Union forces, which are UN authorized to help protect the so-called government of Somalia and open up perhaps a humanitarian space for aid, that's fine insofar as they're in an advisory role to strike. And one has to admit they've helped the effectiveness of the African Union forces, and even one has to acknowledge that collateral damage has certainly decreased in the last year or so. So there's a professionalization happening. So all those are positive developments. What's worrisome, I think, is the lack of transparency with this, and also that there is no ultimate military solution. One can create a secure space, but in order to have political conciliation and eventually, one would hope, the reestablishment of a real political process in Somalia, one has to have political will and a government capable of carrying it out. And unfortunately, the African Union forces can only do so much on the ground without a Somali government that is really embracing the reality of Somalia and legitimate in the eyes of the population. You can have all the military forces you want, but you won't have peace.
And the instability of Somalia is sort of one dynamic here. But the other is, I'm wondering, 17 years after Black Hawk Down, you could make the argument that fear of that fiasco is really constraining U.S. policymakers who might be more decisive if they just viewed Somalia in pure humanitarian terms. Dr. Pham?
Possibly, but I think part of our problem also is that we have a very confused policy with regard to Somalia. Everyone in the international community knows that the transitional federal government of Somalia, the self-appointed, self-perpetuating body, has very little political legitimacy and support even among the population they claim to represent. It's a notoriously corrupt regime. The audit of its own books for the last 2 years reveals that the government stole 96% of the bilateral foreign assistance it received. And it's an astounding number, even for those of us who work on Africa and are somewhat used to, unfortunately, corruption, 96%. It's a group that really doesn't have much political legitimacy, and my concern is that you cannot pursue a military strategy without having a political strategy.
Dr. Peter Pham is director of the Michael S. Ansari Africa Center at the Atlantic Council in Washington, D.C. Jeffrey Gettleman, sounds a little like the Karzai regime in Afghanistan, eh?
Yeah, it's definitely not a good picture at all.
I'm not going to get you to speculate on that, though. We don't want to get Jeffrey Gettleman in trouble with his editors over there at the New York Times. He's the East Africa Bureau Chief for our partner, speaking to us from Nairobi. Jeffrey, thanks so much.
No problem.